Oh my God, you guys. Oh my God, thank you. You guys are great. Thank you. This is what I talk like now, just so you know. I'm gonna do the whole show like this. A very offensive stereotype of a Mexican. This is a Mexican at the border. Just let me in! Jesus! You guys are dicks in there anyway! Fuck you, America!
Is that too high up, do you think? Sorry, like, I always like to stand just a little bit wrong, you know? Just for my own entertainment, instead of staying like this. Just put it a little bit up here, just so people are like, I don't know why that bothers me. Especially if I'm somewhere I don't like being, like CVS, you know, I hate CVS. But sometimes you gotta go in there. That should be their slogan. CVS. CVS, sometimes you gotta come in here. Or else you gotta get your wart band-aids. And that stuff for your dry vagina. Dry vagina. I used to think it was called a vagina. I did because I grew up in Boston. And I don't know if you are familiar with, people call it the Boston accent. It's not an accent. It's a whole city of people saying most words wrong. It's just a stupidity in a massive region. Because my teachers, they teach you to talk like that. My teacher, I had a teacher named Miss Doherty, but she thought her name was Mrs. Darity. She mispronounced her own name. Miss Darity. And she gave us sex ed, it was fifth grade. We had sex ed with Mrs. Darity, and she's showing us the diagram. She's like, this is a penis. And this is a vagina. Now, during intercourse, the man ejaculates sperm up into the vagina. And then later, a fucking baby comes out of the vagina. And sometimes it's retarded. This was the 70s. Teachers said retarded in Boston in the 70s. My daughter's retarded. She used to tell us every day. I have a daughter and she's mentally retarded. She's 35 and she lives in my house. She better be fucking retarded. I'm gonna stick her back up in my vagina. So I thought it was called a vagina until I was like 25.
And I remember thinking it was like, it's a vagina. It's like a thing that vagines, you know? Like you use it to vagina. I gotta vagina my driveway. I don't know, like, just gotta vagina this new table I just made.
That would make a nice table. Like you make a new table and then you take the 80 grid paper and you sand it and then 120 and then you go, all right, honey, get up there. And she just it's like old, like one of those Danish tables or like a nice old Italian table.
This table is very smooth because my wife have a very juicy boozy and she vagina the table. And my family, we do this for generations, and we vagina.
All right. So I'm 47 now, and yeah, I know that's about what it's worth. That's what that deserves. Woo. 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 Yeah, 47 doesn't buy anything. 18, you can vote. 21, you can drink. And 47, you can just keep doing whatever. Just do it. Just keep being out of breath. One good thing is that I've let go of any dream of getting in great shape. Like, it's like a relief. Just because my whole life I've been like, well, someday I should really get in great shape. Now I'm like, what? Why would I do that? That's not going to happen. Just, to me, the bar, the level I want to reach as far as the shape I'm in, I just want it to be so that if you find out that I died, you ask what happened. That's all. I want you to wonder what happened. I don't want to be like, oh, he died? Oh, yeah, well, sure. Sure he did. Sure he did. This would be a bigger news to you. Did you hear Louis still alive? Shit. Oh, really? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How? How? Something's changed when you get older. Like, I've reallocated some of the noises that I make. Like, the noise I used to make when I come is now the noise I make when I pee. Take it all, bitch. Very disrespectful to my toilet, unfortunately.
Yeah, you like that piss, don't you, bitch? I'm gonna shit in your mouth, too, because you ain't nothing but a shit-eating, piss-drinking tullet. Dumb bitch tullet. You ain't intelligent. You ain't even been outside. You sit there waiting for me to shit in your face. Got piss on your lips. You ain't even special. I pissed in 3 toilets today. You ain't shit.
It's terrible. It's awful. But that's how my dad treated his toilet, so that's where I learned it. It's a shame. So that's the noise I make when I pee. And some of you might be wondering, none of you are wondering, what noise do I make when I come? So this is the noise I make when I come. I just go,
it is done!
Thing with clouds and lightning and crows. Ah!
The circle is complete!
Kind of intense. There's a little witch with white eyes going, and the child will be born! And I don't know. One time I was having sex with a woman. It was our first time having sex. Also turned out to be our last time. But I wasn't. Didn't know that. Anyway, I was gonna come soon, so I felt like talking about it. But I didn't know her very well. So it came out weird. I said, oh, I'm coming. She's like, what did you say? Because I was back there. That's why she had to go like this. What did you say? What was that back there, Chief? What was that? Because I'm always back there. It's a weird thing to brag about.
I'm always behind her. Every time.
They don't see me crying. It's weird having sex with a woman from behind because you don't know what's going on the whole time. And I get kind of paranoid. You know, the whole time she might be like... I was on the subway in New York This isn't another sex story.
This is a traveling story. Are you ready?
So I'm on the subway, and I'm standing there. I wasn't holding anything, I just like to stand like this. I'm standing there. I walk around the city like this. Hi. So I'm standing there, and from behind me over here, I hear this. I hear, and I was like, ooh, okay. This is a crazy person. I mean, it's not a big surprise in New York. Then I heard it again. I was like, all right, I want to see the crazy person. Just want to take a look. So I look over, and it's not what I expected. It wasn't a big homeless guy with two sets of headphones that don't work or anything like that. It was a young woman. She looked like she was about 21. She's standing there. She's very kind of nice, properly dressed. She was very, like, Michigan-y or something. Very suburban-y, Michigan-y kind of thing. And she's standing there with a ponytail. And then all of a sudden she starts going like this. She goes, la, 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 la. La, 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 la. And I realize, oh, she's like a student, like a singing music student. And she's doing her vocal exercises on the subway. And you know what? It wasn't charming or nice. It was arrogant and rude. Because she just had this look like, I'm so cool because I'm studying music in New York City. And I just do my thing right on the subway every day. La, 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 everybody. La, 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 tired nurse who just did a 14-hour shift. We live in an interesting time, you know? Because you can be on an airplane, you're like one of 200 passengers, you're on a flight, 30,000 feet in the air, in the middle of the flight, if you just decide to do this, you're sitting in your seat, and you just start going like this, you go, mwah! 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 If you do that and don't stop doing it, they will land the plane. You can will a plane to the ground without a weapon or a threat. You don't have to do that much. You can just sit there and just start going, down, down. Seriously, if you were on a plane and you just didn't stop saying down, down, down. Sir, is there a problem? Down, down. Fighter jets. Will appear, I mean, you're going to the nearest airport. And then I guess you're in trouble, but... Well, they can't put you, like, in prison because you said down several times. They'd, like, bother you. Why'd you do it? Are you a terrorist? Why'd you do it? I just didn't want to be up anymore. Just didn't like it. I mean, I just said the word of the where I wanted to be. You didn't have to do it. Suggestion, Jesus Christ. I was on a plane once and there was two babies on a plane and other people, wasn't just me and two babies. That would be weird. You get on a plane, there's just two babies.
Come on, we're leaving soon. He's the pilot baby. I'm the other baby.
No, it's all right, I'm not gonna... You babies have a good flight, but I'm gonna find another way to get there. Yeah, I don't like the way this was starting. Anyway, I was on a plane and there was these two babies, and they're crying the whole time. Crying the whole flight, and that happens a lot. I don't think they knew each other, they're just crying. I've seen this on so many flights, I started to wonder, is there a reason for this? Is there like an actual reason why babies cry? So I looked it up, turns out there's an actual reason why babies cry on airplanes, and it's because they're upset that gay people are getting married. Yeah. They're like really upset. Like inconsolably upset. Honey, it's the country's changing. And I don't agree with them. I think if people are in love, they should get married. But they can't accept that. Because they're just, you know, just being babies. Babies are selfish. They are. Babies are selfish. They just, meh. No baby ever goes, meh, but how are you doing, though? I have two daughters, and both of them at one time were babies, and I held them, and they cried on planes. It's happened to me. I've had a baby on a plane. If you're ever, this is how selfish people are. When you're on a plane and you hear a baby crying, you think that's happening to you. You're like, oh, this is going to ruin my flight. It's going to ruin it. Well, look at the parent, because that person is holding a crying baby on a plane, which means they've been traveling with a baby all day, which means they have a baby. Okay? So their life isn't even good. They don't like anything. Their whole life was, ugh, Jesus. If there's any joy for them, it's that this is now bothering other people. Yeah, you listen to this shit now. Wah! I remember one time my baby was crying on the plane. She was really upset. And this guy, some businessman on the plane, because businessmen always think that every flight is a private plane of theirs that we're all, like, piggybacking on. And this guy has this fucking newspaper, and he turns around to look at me and my baby, and he looks right at me. He doesn't kind of, like, go like this. He looks at me like, hmm? Like, could you? Like, oh, I'm sorry. Is this bothering you? Let me just... You all just clapped for a dead baby. You applauded a dead baby. I have two children, 9 and 12 years old. Both girls, they're both gay. I'm raising them gay. So most people raise their kids straight. I'm just gonna raise mine gay. They'll do what they want later, but as long as they're in my house, they're gay. I tell them every day, you're gay, honey, good night. Go to bed. Brush your gay teeth, gay honey. Don't forget to be gay. Having children is a big responsibility. And I've never really done very well at it. I've made a lot of mistakes, some of them big, some of them small, you know? Like, I'm still a person, I still am an idiot. You know, still, like, I got high one night, I got really high. Because I don't do drugs, I never do drugs, never. So that when I do, they're way more fun. To me, that's my best advice about drugs. If you wanna enjoy drugs, never do them, never. Because then when you do, they're actually fun. Because when drugs are part of your life, they're just another pain in the ass in your life. It's just, my drugs suck. I don't want to have that problem. I always want to be that person where it's a new thing. Somebody's like, hey, you want to try this? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, I should. It's crazy. I don't even know how to do it. I mean, what is this? Anyway, I got my friend had the little vape. I'm a little worried, honestly, by the young people with the vaping and they just do this and then they just vape and they just stand on the corner and puff and look at the fucking thing. And I miss you. That's what it is. I miss you people. Because you used to stand around like this and I get to go, fuck that one and that was okay. But now I'm just looking at the top of people's heads now. But I didn't realize how, like, my friend, I have a younger friend who vapes and She told me it's just to kind of like calm down. She's like, I barely feel it, you know? Sometimes it helps me sleep. So one night we're hanging out, I'm like, I'm gonna go home and go to sleep. Maybe I'll just try it. So I took one little tiny hit. I was insane. I was completely insane. I was in my house. I couldn't even walk past the window. I had to go under the windows because I was afraid of the inside of my own brain. So I started texting people, just texting. I'm so high. I'm so fucking high. I'm so high. And I texted, you know, to another friend. I'm so high. I want to suck the hot jizz out of my own dick and get higher. That's what I wrote. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that's what I wrote. And I sent it. And then later I looked at my text and I was like, I think I might have sent that to my 12-year-old daughter. I think it's possible. And I didn't, but I too easily could have. Now my kids are in my phone. There needs to be some very reliable firewall that says these numbers are much harder to text. That you can't just, whoops, traumatize her irreversibly. That you can go like, to write to these numbers, I have to solve the Hellraiser puzzle, and I have to, there's two guys with the keys at the opposite room that turn them at the same moment, and there's a warning. Are you sure you want to send this picture of your pubic hair to your ex-wife's mother? That's how you want to break the silence 6 years since the divorce. This is my pubic hair. Look at all of my pubic hair. How have you been? I try to be a good dad, but you know, like the life just kind of takes off. Your kids start, you know, they get their own ideas and their, my 9-year-old, she's just figuring out about lying. And that's a tough thing. It's hard to roll that one back because lying is pretty amazingly useful in life. It's like, how do you tell a kid not to use a thing that just solves every possible problem? Like magic. How do you, because that's why kids lie, because they're in trouble. They lie because they're in more trouble than they can take. You know, because kids, when a 9-year-old lies, it's not for some weird Machiavellian, you know. Do you know what my teacher said about you? It's interesting. They don't just make shit up. They lie because they're in trouble. And it's more than they can, because trouble is too much for a kid. Trouble, for grown-ups, we can take trouble. We don't care, we just go, oh, I'm sorry. Am I in trouble? Whoops. We don't care. But to a little kid, trouble is like this horrible, did you take the chocolate? And she did, and she doesn't know how to handle it. Did you take it? No. Well, all right then, have a nice day. How do you then tell her, yeah, don't ever apply that perfect solution again to terrifying things? Mark Twain once said, a man who always tells the truth doesn't have to remember what he said. And that's great. But Mark Twain also said, there once was a big black guy named Nigger Jim. So, I don't know if 100% of the things he said were perfectly awesome. Really, Mark Nigger Jim, you're gonna go with, that's the best you could do to name the, yeah, kind of a nice ring to it, Nigger Jim. Yeah, well, it's a little on the nose, isn't it? Could have called him Black Mike. I mean, just a little. Take it down one notch of the. Thanks for that, Mark. Anyway, so while we're in this area, now that I know you guys are cool. No. No. But This is a story that takes place. I'm going to tell you the story. It's kind of a messy story. It takes place over a lot of years because it started with my friend Mike, who told me this story. This happened to him back in the 90s. He was going home for Christmas, and he lives in Connecticut. He grew up in Connecticut in some shitty shit town in shitty, shitty Connecticut. And he didn't like going home. He's one of those people, he came from a place, doesn't like it anymore. And he goes back, he doesn't know how to handle his family, you know? And he came from a family of white racists and he doesn't like going home, but it's still home. So he went home for Christmas one year and everybody's hanging out during the day, talking, having lunch. And his father and his brother both work at this factory and his brother's grousing about his day at work. And he goes, yeah, and then this fucking nigger fell asleep with the forklift. And then my friend Mike heard that and he went, oh God, why am I part of this people? I hate this. And he felt bad. And then that night he's in the kitchen and he's having a warm milk or whatever. And I don't know why that's funny, but what that says about him. Yeah, because he's a pussy. No. He's just sort of having some time to himself, and his cousin comes downstairs, who's staying, and his cousin, he likes his cousin. That's the one person he always felt connected with. And his cousin's like, what's wrong, man? And he says, well, geez, I come home and I hoped that everything would be, you know, normal. But then my brother says, oh, he's about the factory and this nigger fell asleep with the forklift. And his cousin goes, oh my God, the nigger fell asleep with the forklift? So this is the first part of the story, okay? So Mike tells me that story about how he's just not listened to by anybody in his family. And then later on, I get a job writing on a TV show for Cedric the Entertainer. Great guy. And he had a show and he hired a writing staff, half white writers, half black writers. So at lunchtime, we talked about race. It was just, we'd have these provocative, interesting conversations, trading notes about race, the white writers and the black writers. And I told that story. I told the whole thing about the guy, nigger in the forklift, and then the cousin saying, nigger in the forklift. And then one of the writers, a black writer, he goes, there's nothing worse than a nigger falling asleep at the forklift. Making it harder for the rest of us. Still, nobody's quite hearing what my friend was going through. And then, about a year later, I'm hanging out with my friend Dino. Dino's Greek. He has no dog in the race. He doesn't care either way. He's Greek. Greeks aren't white or black. They're just, he's just got a big nose and he just stands there. I told Dino the whole story. I told him about the guy, the forklift, and the guy, and then the black writer. And then Dino says, how do you fall asleep at a forklift? My oldest daughter's going to be 13 next year. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's all the parents ahead of you always go like, Yeah, wait till she... That's when you get... I'm not afraid of her teenagehood. It's going to be challenging and difficult, and she'll meet the challenges. You know, I'm always proud of my kid. She's a good kid. Now, some parents are really afraid of their daughters. A lot of dads get scared. They're like, I don't know what to do. I have this friend, his daughter's 15. He's like, she's going to start having sex. I don't know what to do. She's going to have sex. What do I do? I'm like, well, you don't do anything. You don't have a role in that at all. You're her father. No role. Not supportive or advisory, nothing. But what if she has a bad sexual experience? Oh, she's gonna have a number of those. Oh, yes, she is. Her whole life is gonna be just walking through a blizzard of bad dicks, just... Jesus, that was a big one. Holy fuck, I'm just trying to get to work. Yeah. The little one, the 9-year-old, life's a little simpler. Tap dancing, she takes tap dancing class. We started her with tap dancing because we figure by the time she grows up, it'll be the 1930s again. And, yeah, she'll have this thing she can do that nobody enjoys watching. Do you know who the audience is for tap dancing? The parents of tap dancing students. That's all of it. Because we all have to go to the show at the end of the tap dancing semester. And they have a big theater show, and all the kids get up there. They all tap dance in groups of threes. There's about 6,000 kids. They do about 20 minutes each. So the show's about 7 months long. And everybody dies at the end. But you go because you want to see your kid tap dance. Because that's an amazing thing. Because this was a baby. She was just a baby. She was just like, that's it. And now she's going like this. It's amazing. But you gotta watch all those other kids that you don't love at all. You gotta watch people, grown-ups do it. There's grown-up adult students and they get up there, get off, nobody's here to see you. Nobody. Your parents are dead, you're 52. Nobody came from work, nobody came from work. I take her every Thursday to tap dancing. And we go up to the school and she puts on her tap shoes and she goes in the room. I don't go in there and she tap dances and I wait outside because it's 40 minutes. It's not enough time to go anywhere. So I just sit there and listen to her. And she comes out, I'm tired of this. I don't want to go anymore. Good, don't. I don't want to bring you. Quit. Quit. I don't care. I don't push my kids into this shit. Because you got to do it too. I don't want to do it. Daddy, I'm tired of soccer. Soccer is out of our lives forever. With those words from thine mouth. Soccer is gone. I don't care. Don't go to school. I don't want to get up at 7. Don't do any of this shit, honey. I don't care. I have money. Just eat the food in the house. Stay home and eat. You and your sister don't have kids. I can cover all of us, and then we all die. That's my goal. I want to make enough money that we can just lock the door and eat the food. That's it. Daddy, what are we doing today? Go to the food room and pick something out and go to bed. That's all that's required of you. People overthink this life shit. People get it all knotted up. I don't know what to do with my life. Like, I don't know, like, what I should be, or, like, I don't know. It's like, what should I, like, do with my life? Just get food, put food in here. That's it, put food in here. Walk around and look for food. And anytime you see any food, put it in here. Just take it and put it in here. Later, when you feel pressure, shit out the shit in there. That's it. If anybody tries to stop you from doing either of those, murder them. That's it. Doesn't have to be more complicated. Do it till you're died, till you're dead, died, dead. I don't know how long I'm gonna live, I have no idea. You don't really ever get to find out. You never get to go, okay, I'm dead, so 80. You don't ever get to have that thought. This is it. You get to go, this is probably it. That's your last thought. It's probably it right here. Yeah, well, we're all gonna die at some point. It's true, man. And you find out at some point, it's an interesting thing about human beings that we live with the knowledge that we're gonna die. I found out when I was 7 that everybody dies. My grandfather told me. He said, everybody dies! I wasn't even talking to him. I was just trying to blow out the candles. And I was 7 years old when I found out that everybody dies. And I was excited, not because everybody dies, but because I knew it. I was excited because I knew I was young to know that everybody dies. I knew that most of my friends didn't know, and I thought, I want to tell them. I want to be the one that tells everybody. I especially wanted to tell Benji, this kid across the street from me. There's this kid, Benji. He was my friend. I was 7 and he was 6, but if I ever came out in my front yard, he'd come out and I'd be like, oh, here he comes. Just hated him. Hated him. First person I ever hated. Like, visceral hate. He was, to me, he was a piece of shit, cocksucker, asshole. That's what he was to me. And I didn't even know any of those words. I just had that, like, as a raw feeling with no way to say it. I was too young for the feeling that I had. And then I heard somebody say, piece of shit, cocksucker, asshole. I was like, Dad, yes, thank you. That's what that, yes. That's how, yes. Anyway, one day I was in my front yard and piece of shit Benji comes across. And he says, I got a new bike or something like that. And I was like, you're gonna die someday. And he was like, what? No, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. Everybody dies. You're gonna die, and your mom's gonna die, and your daddy's gonna die. In that order. He was really upset, and he starts running. It's still funny to me. It still makes me laugh 40 years later. I can still see it so clearly, and it still makes me laugh. Run, Benji! You can't run from this shit, bitch! This is gonna get ya! I wonder if he's dead. Anyway. So, he came back with his mom. His mom's so angry. And then I was scared. And his mom came over. What did you say to him? And I said, I told him that everybody dies. And she goes, well, that's not necessarily true. I was like, what? She says, well, some people die, but not everybody does. And I was so full of questions. I was like, what about Abraham Lincoln and George Washington? They're dead. Well, she said, yeah, that's because something happened to them. George Washington didn't take care of himself, and Lincoln got shot. But there's a lot of people alive from those days. And I was like, really? What about, like, Bible people? And she's like, yeah, we have to go. And then she left, because I think she realized this is only going to get worse. She's not on a good side of this argument. And then I went to my mom. I told the whole thing. She was like, don't worry, that lady's a fucking idiot. Don't listen to her. My mom said, don't worry, baby. You're definitely going to die. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People from the Bible. I wonder if people in the Bible knew they were going to be in the Bible. Like, guys, this is totally going to be in the Bible. You guys are going to get in the Bible, everybody. I'm going to get my roots done so I look good for the Bible. Yeah, my dog died recently. I had to tell the kids that the dog is dead. That's a tough thing, telling your kids that the dog died. You gotta tell them at some point. You can't just keep going. What? No, he's where he go? Whoa, there he goes. I don't know. He's that little scamp. Go get him. Told my kids the dog died, and we dealt with it. And I was proud of them how they expressed their feelings about it. They cried. I was proud of them how they dealt with their feelings and what they said about it and how they processed it. And I realized this was a positive thing. That's how you start thinking as a parent. A lot of things you don't think of would be positive really are because a dog dying is an opportunity to deal with death with your kids. It's like a dry run for grandma. It is. It is. Dog dies, you talk about it, you deal with it. Later on, you go, so you know all that stuff we talked about the dog? Yeah, so grandma now. Mm-hmm. All the same stuff. That's right. All right, go brush your teeth. I had a dog when I was a kid, and he hated me. And it really hurt. It's a true story. My dog hated me. And I wanted a dog so bad. I was like 10 years old. I used to beg my mother for a dog. And she just would say, like, you had one when you were a baby, and it died. It's fine. But finally she said, you can have a dog if you keep your room clean for a month. And I was so excited because I was like, I'm getting a dog. I told all my friends, I'm gonna get a dog. All I have to do is keep my room clean for a month. I lasted about a week and it just went to shit. I couldn't do it. And I tried like 3-4 days, I couldn't do it. And I got so depressed. I was like, I'm 10 and I already know my life is gonna be shit because I can't do anything. And finally my mom was like, just, well, get the dog. You're bumming everybody out. So she got us a dog. And the dog looked at me and he hated me on sight. And I worked hard to take care of this dog. I was kind to him and he still hated me, which hurt. That's why it hurt. Because he must have just hated like who I am inside. You could tell how he felt because he was very expressive. He was a terrier, you know, so he had eyebrows. Like I'd walk in the room and he'd go like, oh fuck, I can't. And he would just leave. I would take him for a walk and I had to use a leash and I didn't want to use a leash. I want to be one of those cool guys with the dog that just comes along. You know, those guys always got like a suede jacket with patches in it and like scratchy hair. And he's like, hey, and gets in his old pickup and he's like, come on, dog. He goes like, whoosh. You know those guys that can whistle that cool whistle? Whatever. Whee! And the dog jumps in the back and they both get laid somewhere because they're both so cool. That's what I wanted. But my dog would go for a walk and the leash was like taut like this. It wasn't even like, yeah, we're friends. It was like, I'm far from this kid. Can I get my face? He would be choking himself the whole thing. And if I ever like slipped and dropped the leash, he was like, I'm not your dog. He would just run. He would run like a slave. He would just take off. That's how he ran. It's an apt description. That's how he ran. He didn't run like a deer. This is how deer run. He ran like this. He ran away so many times, and then we got a call from the pound. Hi, we have your dog. And you could hear my dog in the background like, don't. Seriously? I told you, I don't want to. I've never been a big animal person. Some animals I hate. Bats, I think bats are just disgusting. I hate bats. I hate, it's a rat with leather wings. You ever seen one and they like look around? It's like somebody, you know? They have a face. It's disgusting. Hate bats. And I'm sure there's a whole thing of, oh, did you know that bats make all the French toast in the world or whatever? I don't care. Hate them. I had a bad bat experience. This summer, we rented a house this summer. I got a house for me and the kids. My ex-wife and I, we share custody of the kids. And so the summer, one month they go with her, 1 month with me. So I got a nice house in the country. And it was beautiful. The kids loved it. But the kids go to sleep at, you know, 8 o'clock at night. So I'm just laying awake, terrified. Terrified. I'm so scared in the country because it's just quiet and it's just mystery and trees and darkness. I live in New York City, I feel perfectly safe there. I'm surrounded by murderers and child molesters and Jews. All right. I mean, there are a lot. There's a bunch of those, but. So one night I'm in the country house and I'm just laying awake, just begging for the fucking sun to come up so I can sleep through my days with the kids. And I'm laying awake, and my bedroom's above the kitchen, and I suddenly hear this. I swear to God, I heard this sound. I heard, what are you singing? I heard that, like, clear as a bell. And immediately, my heart is pounding. I'm like, I'm going to have a heart attack right now. Because there is a witch in the kitchen. First of all, there are witches. I have no doubt in that moment. There's witches. That's how easy it was to flip me over. There are witches. And there's one in the kitchen. And I gotta go down there. I can't just, she'll get, they like kids. She'll get the kids. I go downstairs, I'm terrified. And I'm standing outside the kitchen door like this for like an hour. Too scared to go in until a little bit of logic seeped in and told me even if there is a witch in there, she wouldn't just make a noise and then just stand there for like an hour. So I go in, there's nobody in the kitchen. And then I hear the noise again, and it was the dishwasher. The dishwasher has weird tubes, and when the soap goes through them, it's kind of vocal. I don't know why, but it goes... It was the weirdest thing to watch my dishwasher do it. I was like, all right, it's cool, I'm fine, there's no witches. I'm about to go upstairs, and a bat, a fucking asshole bat, picked that, and he's like, and he just flew right by my head like this, and I went, ah! And I just fell on the floor. And I immediately crawl into the closet, I close the door, and I call 911 right away. I don't know if you ever call 911 and you don't realize until they answer how you shouldn't be calling 911. 911, tell us your emergency. Hi, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry to be bothering you. This doesn't qualify. The lady's like, sir, what's the problem? I said, there's a bat in my house. And I don't like it. She was nice to me, because it's country 911. If you call 911 in New York City, there's a bat in my house, they'll be like, sir, we'll send a car right over to shoot you in the face. But she was nice. She's like, sir, we understand. You're divorced, you're overcompensating with a country house. You're in over your head. She said, call this guy. She gave me a number. She said, call this guy. He's a guy who takes care of bats. He's a man whose bats are his focus. Felt like she was doing a lot of work to not say Batman. Like she was kind of going around. He's a male human who bats are his... I'm not gonna say bad, I don't wanna say it. So I call the bad man. And he comes over and I'm in the closet looking through the crack. And the bat is on the ceiling hanging upside down and he's just looking around. It's the most disgusting thing. And so finally there's a knock at my door and I go, and I crawl to the door and I open it. And he's like, hello. And he says, where's the bat? And I'm like, So the guy walks over and he just takes the bat. That's it. He just took it. He's like, all right. Like, yeah, you pretty much nailed it. That's amazing. It's like I called somebody and said, help, there's a box of tissues on my table. Oh, thank goodness. What a relief to have a man in the house. Would you like some sweet tea? I wasn't expecting company. Oh, my robe fell open. He saw my breasts. Ooh, what do we do now, Mr. Batman? You know, I'm kind of grateful to that bat now. Now that you're going to fuck me. You're not? Well, all right, you can go then. I can't get out of it.
I'm sorry. All right.
I just like to keep doing that till the laughter stops. I'm just like, fuck, he's really, this is getting upsetting. What if I just did that for like 40 minutes?
Well, if you weren't gonna help me, then why did you come over? I'm alone here all day, and I hardly can handle it anymore.
All right, okay. So, no, don't do that. Don't do that. I was
I was in New York one time. I was on the subway platform, and I saw two rats, and they were fucking. And I never saw that before. I'm like, oh, shit. There's two rats fucking right there. And so I watched them. Because you can watch rats fuck. It's not a big deal. You don't have to go... You can really just totally just watch them. Let's see. Anyway, I'm watching them. I'm just curious. I mean, it wasn't surprising how they do it. It's not like she's on top going,
thank you. I love it. I love it. Oh.
I think this is a Japanese rat I'm doing. I don't know.
Oh, it's so good to fuck you. Oh, come on, Ricky. Do me.
All right. Anyway, it wasn't anything like that. It was a pretty standard rat fuck. Just, he's on top, kind of smushing her into the pavement. She's like. And I'm watching him. Just, I mean, I didn't like miss my train just while I was there. Because I was curious. That didn't turn me on, I was just curious. Because I want to know, what is it going to be like when he comes? That's what I wanted to know. What is it like when a rat comes? Is it like, is it just a biological thing? Just a dispassionate kind of just, me, and then he just goes home? Or is it like, oh, fucking yeah, is it like, is it, you know, is it ecstasy? Is it an orgasm? I told that story to a friend of mine. She was like, well, what about the girl rat? What about her orgasm? Why don't you empower her and wonder how she comes? What are you, crazy? Girl rats don't come. There's no way the girl gets to come when rats fuck. First of all, he's not gonna hold out for her. He's not that kind of dude, you could tell. He didn't give a shit. He's gonna fuck her and leave. He doesn't even know her name. He's not sitting there waiting for her and trying to think of things to not come, like giant garbage bags with no food in them or whatever. And even if he did, she's on a subway platform in front of people. She's not gonna be able to get to that place, that inside place that girl rats need to find their orgasm. Because I know what girl rats need. I know how to make a girl rat come. I do, you just pick them up and hold them upside down and you just... Just to be clear what I was doing there. I just want to make sure you know. I spit in her mouth while I played with her little asshole. Don't judge her, that's what she likes. I did it for her. I was watching The Wizard of Oz with my daughters and That's a weird couple of stories to put together. Fingering a rat's asshole to orgasm and watching The Wizard of Oz with my daughters. But they happen to have happened one right after the other. Most things that I do right after I made a rat come. That's what I do at night. It's the only way I try to help. All right. So, let me just tell you this first. I was
I was at a place to eat and dinner in New York, and I heard these two women talking, and one of them is talking about the guy she's dating. They were about 21 years old, like NYU students. And so she's talking about it. You know, a lot of times I'll hear this, a woman talking about the guy she's dating, and she runs down the stuff that's not satisfying. The things she doesn't like. She's like, he's just, you know, I text him, and he like doesn't like respond right away, and then when he does, it's like, whatever. So that's weird. And then like I saw him, and he's just being weird. And so then he like calls me, he's like, I'm sorry I'm weird, because it's like weird right now. And I was like, whatever, it's just weird. And then I'm listening because I wanted to know, what is her friend going to say? I want to know what kind of friend she has, you know? And her friend just says, he's a piece of shit. He's a piece of shit. He's not good enough for you because you're amazing. You're amazing. So he just can't handle how amazing you are. And I remember thinking, that is a shitty friend. That's not a good friend. That is not a good way to approach life. I'm amazing. And anybody who doesn't text me back just can't handle how amazing I am. I mean, she's a student. She can't be. She's not Nelson Mandela. She's in college. I'm sure she's fine, but you're amazing the way you take classes. What is so amazing? She's kind of boring. He's kind of a douche. It's fine. They're fine. You need to know that you're boring a little bit. It's important. Self-love is a good thing, but self-awareness is more important. You need to once in a while go, oh, I'm kind of an asshole. You have to have that thought once in a while, or you're a psychopath. You know, like when you say to a friend of yours, you're being an asshole, and they're like, no, I'm not. Well, it's not up to you if you're an asshole or not. That's up to everybody else. You don't get to say no to that. You're an asshole. No, I'm not. Oh, sorry. I thought, okay, I'm glad I checked. I guess you're not. If somebody tells you you're an asshole, you should go, oh, shit. All right, what happened? How did I get here? It's like somebody saying, you know, you got something on your face. No, I don't. It's like America. I feel like America is like the world's worst girlfriend. America is like a terrible girlfriend to the rest of the world. Because when somebody hurts America, she remembers it forever. But if she does anything bad, it's like, I didn't do anything. America, why do you keep bombing those people in Yemen and all these? Well, because 9/11, okay? 9/11. Shut up, asshole. Okay, well, you killed hundreds of thousands of people, so I think, yeah, now, but 9/11. Fuck you. You didn't understand. Yeah, but you're torturing people. It wasn't even torture. Oh my God. He's such a baby. I didn't even do anything to him. And I'm saying this about women because I'm a guy. Women might say this about that. This is what guys are like. That's just what it's like, you know, because I think racism and sexism are very different. To me, racism is just a mistake. It's like just an error. It doesn't really make any sense. We could just do away with it. But sexism isn't going anywhere. Because sexism is way deep the fuck down inside. So it's just the way we feel about each other. So, women! 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 And you're like, man, 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 man. Anyway, so I'm watching The Wizard of Oz with my daughters. Is that enough of a palate cleanser? All right. I'm watching The Wizard of Oz. I don't know if you've seen it. It's about a little girl named Dorothy, a very sweet little girl, played by an alcoholic older lady who lives in Kansas. She has a dog. She's very upset. And she keeps telling, my dog. And everybody's like, this is a farm. We're working. Leave us alone. And then there's a tornado, and they all run inside, and they barely look for her. It's unbelievable. It was so upsetting to me when I was a kid to see this movie. Because Auntie Anne's like, Dorothy! Okay, fuck it. And she just goes right inside, bolts the door. Unbelievable.
So Dorothy goes up to Oz.
So here's the thing, I was watching the other night, there's this one moment that really stunned me. It's when Ray Bolger played the Scarecrow. He just got ripped apart by flying monkeys. And he's very upset. And he has this performance that's way over the top, even for this movie. Do you remember that moment? The Tin Man comes over. What happened? And he's like, well, first they tore my arms off, and they threw them over there. And then they tore my legs off, and they threw them over there. And I've seen this movie a thousand times. But for some reason this time, that moment made me go, oh, shit. That was a lot. And I started to wonder if Victor Fleming, the guy who directed The Wizard of Oz, if he had a moment during the filming of the movie where he was like, I think I gotta have a word with Ray. Because that's getting to be a lot. All right, let him do another one. Okay, action. What happened? Well, first they tore my arms off, and they threw them over there. And then they tore my legs off, and they threw them over there. Okay, cut. Comes over. So listen, Ray. Yes? Nah, you're fine. You guys have been great. Thanks a lot for coming. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much.